Hi everyone, and a massive welcome to, or welcome back, to the Dedicate podcast. I'm your host, Kate Ivey. Today's episode is with the fabulous Sarah Henney of Outback Linen Co. Sarah launched Outback Linen Co. in October 2022 from the desire to help stimulate the rural retail sector through luxurious linen. Today, Sarah shares her business story and her life challenges, including raising kids with little support, living in isolation, homeschooling, and drinking in the bush. A great convo and an interesting perspective in that Sarah is still going through many of these challenges now. Oh, thank you so much. Amazing. And I'm so looking forward to this chat today. So tell me about where you live.
So I am based in the outback in Queensland. I have recently moved from a little town called Longreach, where we lived for about 7 years. We have moved to a remote cattle station about 80 kilometres from Alpha, which is west of Emerald.
Okay. And so how far is the nearest town?
Yeah. Okay. So the nearest town, like, it's a little town and which is 80 Ks away. Yeah. It's like just got a little spa, grocery store. We can do swimming lessons, but the major town is Emerald, where there's like Big W, Woolworths and those sorts of things, yeah, which we go into school.
Oh, wow. So how far is that?
Like mini school. Yeah, 2.5 hours. So we go into mini school once a term. We've just started school this year. And yeah, we spend a week every term in there.
And how old are your kids?
So Fred is 5 and he's just started prep, and Stan is 3.
Okay. So do you do homeschooling then?
Yeah. So that was one of the challenges that I was a bit nervous about taking on this year.
Yeah.
And it hasn't gone exactly to plan. Had a govvy for 2 weeks, so that was good. And then I've taken it on myself just to get some consistency and work out what bloody hell we have to do.
Yeah. So did the govvy not work out, or it was only 2 weeks, or you realized that, okay, you need to get a handle of it first and then you can maybe start delegating after that?
Bit of both. I feel like it wasn't the right fit for us. Yeah. And there is so much responsibility on that person that I did know going into it, but I was like, this is like my boy's education. And I'm like, I don't want someone that's not fully on the pulse to be running this show. So like, they were falling behind by the end of week two. I was like, let's just cut our losses and move on. And it's been an interesting learning experience. Like, it's been fun in like doing the activities and stuff, but it is a huge, huge job in itself and not something I thought I would be doing.
No. So I'd love to explore that more, but first of all, how did it get to this? So what was it? How come you decided to move, and what were you doing in Longreach previously?
Yeah. So my husband has always worked away from town. So we did, I think I explained it as like FIFO almost. So he was always away for 10 days or 7 days or 5 days and then home for 4, running his own businesses. And that was really hard, especially with 2 little kids in a small town. Like, it was pretty isolating in itself looking back. We made the decision kind of like mid last year that we would do something different, and this job came up, and we've always had cattle and gist and everything and loved the rural life. And so it was a good opportunity for the kids to like grow up on a farm and, you know, ride their motorbikes in the afternoon and dad to be home and see the kids more and just kind of be a family, because it was just, it wasn't great.
And the homeschooling, am I right in that when you do it at home, it's only, not only, I'm not going to say only, I'm not going to make it just or only, because I know it's a massive thing, but, you know, it's when they're at school for 6 hours, they're not always sitting down at the desk. So do you spend about 2 hours a day at the desk and then they can go off and do other stuff, or how does that all work?
So in prep, they do 2 online sessions most days, which are 1/2 hour each.
So someone else is leading that, so you don't have to be there, or you have to be
I feel like because they're little, like, you still have to like encourage them to get on a computer, because like they're not used to it really, maybe iPads. So one lady said to me, like, if you survive prep, you'll survive anything. And I'm like, yeah, now I feel like it's hard. So they do like 1/2 hour slots, 2 1/2 hour slots most days, and some other reading and stuff. And then there's like these home tutor books, which is like lessons of maths and stuff that we work through, and they're not hard. Like, it's like, you know, we're learning patterns or whatever this week, and it's like, it's fun. And Stan, my little one, gets to join in as well. It's just a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. Well, it's a lot as well with everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not my only job, right?
Yeah. And it's a lot for the rest of us without that. So you've got that as well. Is it hard to get the kids into it, or are they like, okay, this is what we have to do, so mm-hmm. we're doing it?
I have two boys and they're very high energy. Like, they don't really want to be locked in a classroom. It's hard. It is a big adjustment. I mean, we go into town on a Friday, which I pushed for that because I really wanted Fred to go to mainstream school and like play with boys. We did kindy last year. He loves playing trucks with boys and things like that. So we do that on a Friday and he really enjoys that. And
cool. So yeah. Friday's your favorite day of the week?
Yes. I get 6 hours to myself.
That'll be why you wanted to do Friday podcast too. At least you have time tomorrow.
I know. Extra and I'm like, tomorrow. The jobs just like pile up because I'm like, yeah. Great, that's on Friday. And yeah. I get some time for me, you know, that's when I get my eyebrows waxed or whatever as well.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
it's not a bad day.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess, is it hard because it's all new and schooling's new? Like, do you think if your kids have been at school for a couple of years and then done homeschooling, they would have kind of been like, oh yeah, we know you have to do this stuff? Or I don't know, I guess it's all just...
I don't know. I have a really good friend who she's got two girls in school and they love it and they've just adjusted really well.
They love homeschooling, you mean?
Yeah. They live 2.5 hours out of Longreach. I think if you were in like a mainstream school and then moved, it would be hard, I think, because they're used to that.
Yeah, true.
Before the move, I like literally Googled podcasts like moving to homeschool and stuff, and I have good friends, but I don't know, it's just, does it work for everyone? Who knows? I don't know what where to from here. It's just really hard.
Sorry that it's so hard. Is it early days, so you're in the first few weeks of it?
Yeah, term one, right?
Term one.
Only 13 years of school left. I've told when Fred's like, I don't like school. Like, he does love learning, but some days he's just like, oh, I don't like school. I'm like, guess what, buddy? 13 years to go. I have friends that are in town, they're like, school can get hard. By week 6, no one wants to go. I'm like, okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, no, totally. And like you say, you've got boys who are active. I remember my son, he absolutely loved kindy. So he, like, I'd turn up to kindy and it'd be a big sign saying Gus's Cafe and he'd be doing so much practical stuff. And he had a mai-mai at the kindy, and even when he left, they kept it there for a few months. And my daughter was on duty to make sure everything was, you know, he'd told her to make sure the mai-mai was still operating and everything. And then he came to school and a part of my heart broke, because then he was forced to sit down at a desk. And I definitely feel like those first couple of years weren't that great for him, because you know, have you looked into all that stuff around different learning and how I'm not an expert by any means, but you know, learning through play and all that type of stuff?
I have listened to a few podcasts and things about there's a lot of negative stuff about since COVID, and I'm like, don't get absorbed into that,
like negative stuff.
There's a lot of negative stuff. There is, like, I feel like actually my VA who works in my business does homeschooling in rural New South Wales, and they made a choice, and that's like, there's lots of positives, but I just haven't really found that information yet.
Yeah, well, you haven't got the time to, have you? It's kind of like one of those things, what comes first? And it's
I was like, during school holidays, I always found school holidays really hard, because it's like, what do you do with kids? Like, small town, there's not heaps of activities. And so I was literally counting down to like January the 26th, I think it was, or whatever, first day of school. And then when it all went to shit 2 weeks later, I was like, oh dear.
Sorry, is this, when was this, sorry?
This is this year.
What do you mean it went to shit? Did it change that you were going to be?
Yeah, well, it was like, my expectation was like, I was going to have a dolly, I was going to work 6 hours a day, she's going to have kids sorted, and it was just like, I can finally work, and like, reality, the dream.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like I need to check in with you and every now and then and see how you're going with it all.
Yeah.
Because I guess if it gets too tough, then you'll look into other options.
Yeah,
that's it. Just a process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
See if you can get someone who's like on an OE, who's a teacher or something.
Yeah, someone who's loves kids would be great. If you know anyone, if anyone's listening.
I'm sure there's someone. Come on, guys.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So that's a challenge, definitely. And to be continued, TBC, that one. There'll be some massive learnings from it. Also, you mentioned, isolation and raising young kids in general, not just the schooling. What have been your challenging times with that? And the good times.
Good times. Like, there are lots of pros for raising kids in the bush. Like, I, in Longreach, my best friends live like 1 minute away. So on my challenging days, we'd often hang out and the kids would all play together and the afternoons were like easy. It was great. So lots of there are nice things about raising your kids in rural communities. Like, I actually love rural. I'm originally from the Gold Coast, like, and I can never really picture myself going back to that world.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely some challenges. Like, a lot of our husbands all work away, so it's like a lot of my friends were doing the same thing. I used to call like single wife life during the weeks, because they're like, whether they're farmers or they're like, my husband was a builder, or if they're fencing, or we can't really be with them. So often they're like 2.5 hours on stations where the work is, and we're in town doing the kid thing during the week. So I feel like my friends on the coast are always like, I don't know how you do that. And it's like, well, we just do it.
Yeah.
And we have each other out here. So that's really hard. And I probably didn't really struggle with it until like I had Fred, and I found it quite easy because we'd pack the car on the weekends and we'd go out of town and we'd go do that thing, that stuff, and follow my husband around. It was when I had the second kid and they were like 2 under 2 that I was like, holy, like, this is even harder, because like, they're two babies, right? They're one can't really communicate and one's like newborn, plus like the no sleep and stuff. It put me in a really challenging mental space, and it probably wasn't until then of like 2 that I was like, there's something more than this. It's not just like a normal struggle, like something else is going on. So that then is like, challenges with mental health, and that's a whole bloody minefield when you're trying to get support in the bush as well. So
how did you go about that, getting that support and helping?
I was lucky that, the GP system isn't great. I sort of fell under the radar a lot. And as well, I was very like, I'm fine, I'm superwoman, like, had that mentality. Mm. But through my business, I actually found this holistic counsellor who's in Perth, and she was like just amazing. And lucky I was working at the time, so I could pay for it as a private patient. It was just through that sort of process, I was like, you sort of take a step back and you reevaluate your life and you like start to do things for yourself. And that was the big part of my journey that was like changed from, not being in a very good place to sort of on a journey of feeling good again.
So when you say sort of, you're still on the journey now?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like, does it ever end? I feel like it's just a journey. It's just different phases of it. It's not like most days are good now. It's just,
did you say most days are good or most days
yeah most good. Days are good yeah. Most days are good. Like, I look back to, I don't know, 2 years ago, and I was like, oh, I remember sitting at the local pool being like to my best friend, like, I just don't enjoy being a mum, like, what's going on? And that they were bad days, obviously. And I guess I probably covered that up with a lot of drinking as well. Like, I think I mentioned to you, I was like, this is another challenge that I face. But just doing whatever I could to survive. And now I feel like I'm in a bit better place where it's like, I love my work. I genuinely love playing with the kids. Like, it's definitely better, but I feel like it's still a big focus of mine to keep on that journey and not fall off.
And I think it's the load, isn't it, that really puts so much pressure on us. Yeah, the the mental load. Do you think for you it was becoming a mum that was the adjustment? Was it having your husband far away? You know, what do you think
your
main things that cause it? There's not always a cause, but
I think all I ever wanted to do was be a mum. So it was like the first child came along and it was like moving out of corporate world into motherhood was hard in the fact that, you know, you're not expected to be anywhere by 9 and you don't clock off at 5. But it was just amazing. Like, it was just like our days were just all for this child that I'd so dreamed of having for so long. And it was fine. What was your question? What happened? It was the fact, like, I really feel like it was just the fact that I had no real support around me other than my best friends, who, like, I had 2 amazing friends in Longreach, but they were doing the same thing. Like, they had their own busy lives. Like, they could have been back at work, they could have been, you know, they have 2 or 3 kids. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not really like your full-time support. It was definitely that I was basically like single wife during the week, and there's no break. It's like, I remember being up till 10 o'clock one night when Stan was very little and being like, when do I get my life back? Like, there is no time for me. There's no, like, now I'm very grateful that my husband comes in at like 5 or 6 and I'm like, if I need to not do the bath and bed, like, I can. Mm-hmm. It's so different. But I think,
but you have also, sorry, you also had to make a big sacrifice at the same time to have that. You know, you've had to move 2.5 hours away from your friends as well to have that. That must be equally as hard.
Exactly. It's right. I just feel like, am I trying to fit this square peg in this round hole? Because it's like, there's always something got to give. It's it's very challenging. And that is why I started working, because it was like the people I met. So before starting out back when, and I was doing, like, I started bookkeeping because I was like, I'm really good at finance. I've always worked in finance. I can do bookkeeping from anywhere. Let's just do this business. So it gave me a way to connect with people. And some of those people that I met through that, I still talk to all the time. It's like, that was my, some of them were with support. Some of them were just like friends. Like, I was in Longreach and I was talking to people like wherever across the world. And it felt so, probably not world, but
New Zealand.
It just felt, New Zealand. That's right. It just felt like, I was connected again in the world, and it's so good.
And it's so, so powerful when you can create something that's gives you so much as well. I feel like it really, really shows in people's businesses, and there's so much heart and soul in the business, and you feel it when you're corresponding with the business, or when you're looking at their website, and I don't know, there's just something quite special about rural business women.
And there is. And we all, I feel like everyone I come across has a similar story. And it's like, that's why they started their business, because it's like, it's an outlet. It's something that they're passionate about, whether they're a painter or like, I should say artist, but they all have been on a similar journey, and their business is their thing to connect and like have purpose and get into the world again.
We'll definitely get stuck into some of those topics there. Just something else I wanted to understand more about was, so when you're living in the outback or you're in Longreach, there's lots of jobs there's lots of jobs in the outback. And so you and your friends' husbands work in those. So that might be 3 hours drive or 8 hours drive. So then they come back for stints of time. What made your husband get into that line of work? Good question.
He's always been like builder, and like we had cattle on adjustment, so naturally, like, you have to be at least like 100 k's out of town to have cattle. There just seems to be more work out of town, like whether they're building like sheds for farms, or like Joel's work was fencing, so like that naturally is on farms, so again it has to be out of town. And we had we have earth moving equipment and stuff. So to keep that equipment moving and working, you have to be further than like the town boundary. I think financially, like, there's more opportunities for them to be like make more money out of town, I guess. Yeah. And I think that's where we got to with like, what are we doing? Why? If we're working this hard and not enjoying it. But yeah, there's just, there just seems to be more work out of town. Yeah. That's, I don't know whether it's my opinion, but yeah, lots of family businesses in Long Range, the husband works away or anywhere actually. Like, I often see ads on the governess nanny page where they're looking for someone to support the mom while the husband works away, whether they're like electricians or whatever. It's like, it's a big culture thing out here. Like, and being that the outback is so big, or rural Australia is so big, like, the travel is further.
It's very kind of romantic for me. I'm kind of like, oh, I'd love to visit, but it's really cool hearing, you know, the ins and outs or the reality of it all. And how did you guys meet if you're from the coast?
So I was on the coast, did uni, finished that, and my husband was, he did school because he is from a small town out here and there's no high school, so most people move away. Well, you have to, right, if there's no high school.
Or so go to boarding school, move away, or go to boarding school.
Yeah, he lived with family on the Gold Coast, and yeah, he stayed around and did his carpentry apprenticeship, and then during that time we met through mutual friends down there, and then eventually he wanted to move back out here. So
So when you were growing up as a little girl on the coast, you never would have imagined that one day you'd be living in the outback?
No. And I remember, like, as kids we did a school trip with mum and dad, and I remember going through Long Range and stuff, but I was like, never, because I used to, you know, driving to those little towns, I was like, how do they get groceries out here? Now I'm like, oh my God. And even the first time I got off the plane, like visiting, I got off the plane in Long Range and I was just like, my head was just like on fire. I was like, why is it so hot? Like, it was like the middle of summer and I was like, it is so hot. I could never imagine living here. Anyway.
Yeah, it's so funny. Even where we actually don't get it anymore. We're only 10 minutes from the nearest town, but when we were 30 minutes from the nearest town, that was my most asked question. Where do you do your groceries? And you kind of get sick of answering. We were 25 minutes to Twizel, so I'd do them there, or if the nearest city town's 2 hours. So if you were there for something, you'd stock up, but you'd still be going into the, like, my kids are at kindy 3 days a week in Twizel. There's only 2,000 people there. It's still expensive to buy stuff from the supermarket, but you know, it's still
like Long Range, really. Like, but you were 30 minutes away.
It's funny that 5 minutes makes a difference.
Yeah, it's okay. I know. When you were taking kids to kindy, like, did you just do a round trip because you would have had younger kids?
Yeah, I stayed in town. Oh, so we'd do like 2 or 3 days a week, and I just found by the time I drove back home, like, it's and that was before I started my business. I can't remember. I think I still stayed in when I had the business. And by the time you do groceries, I'd go to the gym or go for a run or something, do some exercise, do some emails in the car. Little ones. What did I do with the little ones? They'd just hang out with me in town for the day. So that's what you do when you go in on Fridays? You get stuff done?
My youngest in pre-kindy. And that was the other thing I really wouldn't, he seems to have slid under the radar of like kindies and stuff. He's pretty cruisy. I'm like, no, it's really important that you actually go see some kids your age. So he goes to kindy, Fred goes to school, and I do work.
Cool.
And which have again, you made good that I have it, because if I didn't have work, like, what would I do all day? I
know. Yes. Yeah. No, totally. And you can sit there in the car doing it. Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very good use of time. And have you made friends in Emerald? But hard?
This is in Claremont. No, I don't know Claremont, anyone really yet. So maybe one day.
Yeah. You haven't got time, you're too busy doing your business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
when you're and you've got other friends.
It's hard to reestablish again, right? I probably didn't. I've always kind of moved around a little bit with work and stuff, and you make friends through work or whatever pre-kids, and it's like when, you know, I'm not really entirely in that community either, so it's like I'm just like a little outlier. So I did underestimate like how hard it probably was again to get reestablished.
And
I
when
probably sound really depressing actually at the moment. Like, oh, don't live this life.
You're going through it. You know, it's one thing to talk about challenges once have been, and you can say, oh, this is what I learned, and aren't challenges great for you and stuff. But when you're in them, it's tough. It is so tough.
Yeah. You get to hear the journey.
Do you think you'll stay where you are?
Who knows? Honestly, every day I'm like, oh, what if I did this? What if I did that? Like, it's just transition phase. And it's like,
So remind me, how long you've been there?
Oh, 4 months.
4 months, that is early.
It's always been in the back of my mind. And again, it was like something I didn't expect until I had kids. It was always this like, what happens when they need to go to boarding school, like high school, because I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've had a lot of anxiety about like, oh, like what happens then? Like, will I go? Will I stay here? And like my kids are away. So that's still hasn't
my advice
resolved,
for that. I've got kids at boarding school. I've got one at boarding school. But I grew up with boarding school and my family grew up with boarding school. So did my husband and his family. Our kids grew up with stories about boarding school. It was all quite normal for us. But it doesn't mean it's easy. Like there's still, we'd still rather have our kids at home with us. But what I'm finding on this journey is that it gets more obvious the closer to the time. Like you can have some thoughts about it now, but it will become obvious and it will become clear. So don't stress too much, you know?
Yeah. So what do you've got a boarding school and you're one at boarding school?
I've got one at boarding school, my middle one. Yes, he's year seven. So he's in like the 2 years before high school. And it's an hour 45 away.
Okay. It's not too far.
Like, there is
does
a school.
Come home on weekends and things?
Yeah, every second weekend. There is a school that my eldest goes to. She has special needs. My eldest goes to that, you know, it's an area school. But we just felt that for us, we wanted our child to have, you know, I'm careful with how I word it because I don't want to put down anyone who doesn't make that decision or whatever, everyone makes a decision that's right for them. But, and also, I mean, there's money constraints as well. It's damn expensive. Just the opportunities that there are in the bigger cities and how much travel is involved to have those opportunities when you live where we live.
So have you ever contemplated like moving closer?
Well, it's just the farm. So
because I have some friends that the mum will move.
Yeah.
And dad stays home with the farm.
Yeah, I don't see that working for us.
Yeah.
I have see other people doing that. I can't see that working for us.
Yeah.
It's not really an option. Yeah.
I see it. And you've got to do what works for you, right? And everyone's different.
Yeah. I think it wouldn't work for my husband personally. I think I could do it, but I don't think he could.
It's hard for relationships as well. Right.
So many dynamics. So
so many.
But yeah. It will, I mean, it's early days for you. It will get clearer for that high school. Yeah. Live now. Live the now. All right, so tell me more about, you've been alcohol-free for how long?
Should have looked it up this morning. I think it's about 16 weeks now.
Wow.
I gave up in November. Yeah.
Wow. So what made you give it up?
I didn't even expect it ever. So what actually made me give it up? Well, moving here, I was like, you know, this is probably one of the things I found myself trapped in. Long Range is a very big, actually, even since moving out here, really, there's a big culture of, you know, you finish work every day and you have a beer. And one beer is like five beers or six beers. And so I probably lived that culture for since 2013 when I come out here. It was just like midweek drinking was fine, weekend a lot of drinking was fine. That's just what we did. Like, yeah, that's social, there's drinking. So I've lived that lifestyle for a long time, like over 10 years. And I never really saw an issue with it. And it probably just got progressive. It was just, that was just how it was. Had kids, like obviously didn't drink when I was pregnant. Had kids, and then yeah, every day 5 o'clock would come along and be like, where's my beer? Like, I'll have my beers while I bar kids. Like, that's my, probably was my outlet, you know. And my friends and I, we would sit and watch the kids play in the afternoon and we'd have a beer. Like, it was just, that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And when I moved here, I was like, this is a chance for a fresh start. Like, I don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And I was in a place where I'm like, I'm really sick of feeling like shit. Like, I'm sick of waking up exhausted, struggling to get out of bed at 7. Like, I'm sick of feeling shit, basically. Mm-hmm. Let's not drink. Let's drink zero beers. And I sort of at the time was like, I'll just do it until Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then it's just kind of progressively gone along. But, yeah, so moving here was a big thing. I'm like, this is a chance to start fresh. Actually, and I had a blood test and the doctor was like, how much do you drink? And I was like, oh, like not much, you know, and like a few nights a week, whatever, lie probably. And they're like, well, you've got this really weird thing that's like your MCV level, and usually it's only up if you're like on chemotherapy, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you try not drinking and see if it comes down? And I was like, how annoying, like it's just about to be Christmas, New Year's, like how am I going to not drink over that time?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just, that was also in the back of my mind, like maybe that this isn't helping my health. Like maybe this is also not helping my mental health. Maybe this is like something I need to change. So that is why I stopped drinking and just was like, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And have you had another blood test?
Yes, I did in January, and it came miraculously. I think my levels were like 107 and you have to be 99 to pass. And I was like 96. I was like, there you go, right? It's obviously doing something to me that I didn't realize.
Yeah. And what's been the hardest part about it? Has it been hard at all?
It's hard when you go to, like, lucky we don't have as much of a social life here anymore. But when you go to like a barbecue or like an event in town, like we had the Christmas tree, it's like, why are you not drinking? Are you pregnant? And I'm like, I'm not pregnant. Yeah. I'm just like not drinking, like just zero beers, like this. Yeah. And you kind of like have to justify all these reasons. It's like, it's so just accepted, or not really accepted if you don't drink. It's like you're a bit of a leper. But it's easier when you don't have constant social interactions to justify that.
So it definitely is a thing, isn't it? And I'm guilty of it too, thinking, oh, what's wrong with that person if they're not drinking? You know, it's
for sure.
They must be sick, or they must be pregnant or something.
I feel like we're in a bit of a culture change where there's zero beers, there's like Prosecco with no alcohol. So it's like you can cover it a little bit. And like I still enjoy, like I feel like, yeah, I love 5 o'clock when 5 o'clock comes and you're like, oh, it's a hot day, like let's have a drink. So I haven't been able
and you
to
replace
them.
You do relax, don't you, when you have a drink? It's like,
oh, so nice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is actually quite timely for me, because I was talking to my well, I haven't had a drink since February the 11th because I've had like the concussion and vertigo. And over the last few years, I've sort of thought on and off about, do I give it up? I'm a binge drinker, so I don't drink at home unless we've got people there, unless we've got friends over. Like, I won't just sit down and have a drink with my husband. He's used to get really annoyed, but he's sort of over it now.
Yeah.
I might if it's Saturday night and we haven't done something for a while or something. But I'll have a drink as soon as someone comes over. And I'll have big nights out, not that often, but I'll have big nights out. And, you know, I think, do I need to, you know, start questioning it? And my friend and I were talking about it this morning. It's so hard to make the call because it is so fun. And then I'm like, oh, I don't do it that often. And there's these thoughts around, Does it change your friendships? And I don't know, does life get too boring if you don't do it?
I know.
What do you think about that? You know, what's your answer?
Mind to be like, I can be fun without it. And I probably am still struggling with that. There is a book. Yeah,
fun without it? Like,
I'd love to say now that I'm probably, again, I'm not at the social functions. Don't know that I've been to the pub yet. I have been for lunch, and I usually would have had a beer, and I've had like whatever, something else. The fun without it, I think it's like finding other things that are fun, maybe. But
yeah, I think so, because you have lots of fun with girlfriends if you're on a road trip somewhere and you haven't had a drink, you're laughing and stuff. And I guess going to a pub and trying to have fun without drinking is like going to a netball court and or I don't know, I'm trying to think of an idea, going to a bungee jumping thing and not bungee jumping, but saying have fun. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that's the same, but it's like maybe if you're trying to have fun without alcohol, the pub's the wrong place to do it.
That's right. That's probably not the right place to go. Yeah. But the other thing is like, there's nothing wrong with drinking, I don't think. It's like, it's, you know, if you're only doing it like every now and again, then there's nothing to say that that's an issue. Like maybe I will do that in the future, who knows? Yeah. But for me, I just was like, I got to take some control back.
Yeah,
and
you sort of reached your rock bottom with it, and then it was time to sort it. And the only way to do that for you was to go cold turkey. And I like that it wasn't necessarily planned, and that you thought you'd just do it for a couple of months. So there's not that sort of pressure. You're sort of doing it. It's a real choice thing now. You're doing it because it's feeling good.
Yeah,
and or is it because it's a health thing?
No, it's not the health thing anymore. Yeah. That probably didn't bother me at all. It's like I've sort of felt this now where it's like I wake up at 5 and have a cup of tea and just like sit out on the deck. And I'm like, I never used to do this. And I like have these flashbacks of like I was definitely a binge drinker as well. Yeah. Like I'd go to the – I was thinking this morning before this, I was like, remember the Mother's Day where I went to the races with my girlfriends and like I said Mother's Day. So guilty, but I feel like I just was like so sick. I'm like, what a day to spend Mother's Day. I'm not being my best self. And we all have those moments. But
you're your best self the day before, and you would have had an absolute blast. We just paid for it the next day.
Yeah. And I love not having a hangover. I'm like, I love not feeling that. And I love the 5 a.m. It's like it just that happened. I never thought I'd get up early. So I'm like, and given that the school stuff's all going on, I'm like, I can do a bit of work in the morning if I want to. Like, I just feel like I've got a little bit of
So basically, the benefits of not drinking outweigh the cons of not drinking.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Half convinced.
Yes.
It's really amazing, though, to hear your perspective right now, because you are doing these things that are good for you in a lot of ways. So you're not drinking, and you've made this decision for your family together, you know, for your family to be together. But at the same time, it's not 100% right for you.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, you hold the vision of like the perfect life. And I'm like, I don't know if you ever fully have that. I don't know. Maybe there are people out there that are like, we've got all our ducks in a row and it's great. Whether it's because we've got the challenges of like the rural world, like my husband still works from 5 a.m. till 6 p.m. Like that's still long days. Like it's still, there's still challenges and, you know, is it ever going to be entirely right? Who knows? And it's like your decisions with school. It's like, I've got to make the decisions that are right for my family. And that was one of the reasons why we don't have the Guppy now, because it's like right now, my priority is the school stuff. The business and all that can run itself. Like that can be a priority down the track. So it's like, it's just the juggle.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right in the trenches.
You would find that, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. And it's, I sort of think it's going sort of up and down, you know, goes one way and then you sort of try and balance it out and it goes the other way and you're sort of up and down. But, you know, we learn so much through the challenges, and I've had this vertigo and concussion for nearly a month now. And even though I can't do things properly, mentally, I'm the best I've been in a long time. And And I think that's because I'm having rest. I'm not rushing the same. I've had to take pressure off myself. My husband's taken on a bit more load. So he's picked up my daughter a few times from school, and we've actually made some changes there, in that he did it for 3 days and he said, I can see why you're so exhausted all the time, because we go and pick up my daughter from school and process all the challenges, she has special needs, that have happened that day. And so now we've put into place a system where she just comes out to meet us, and they let us know at the end of the week some of the challenges, and they keep in touch with this company we work with. And then one of the teachers emailed me yesterday and said, you know, and they've had a think as well, and they've said they're going to let me know the highlights on a Friday now too. And I got really emotional reading that, because it was just this realization of how much negativity and stress I'd been carrying from that. I've gone off on a tangent now. I don't know why I started talking about that.
So like listening along, like, yes, I totally get it. It's like you're emotionally supporting your daughter. And puts you on a roller coaster all the time.
And hearing something negative every day was sending me in deep down into, I didn't realize how much it was affecting me. And so now that's been lifted. But I had a point. So, I can't remember how I linked it back and what you were saying, but basically,
he's helped you out by taking some of the load, so you're like, you've rested and you feel like,
and that's been really interesting. I think where I was going with that was that internal stuff that
one counselor, this is probably, you'll edit this out. One counselor once said to me, like, if you go away for 7 days and let your husband experience all of the stuff you do, they will have an eye-opening experience.
Yes.
I'm like, I haven't yet done it. I've just recently gone away for a weekend. But
I think that's what's happened.
It's not their fault. It's not their fault at all. It's just the stuff that happens behind the scenes.
Totally. And I think that's what's happened the last month, because previously, because he's had to really take on some stuff, and it's been quite good timing. He hasn't been as crazy on the farm. And because other times he's done things, he's taken on stuff and it's all been quite cruisy. And I've thought, bugger you. But I think he has had a realization. But it's also been quite good in that he was like, hold on a minute. He saw a weakness in what I was doing. Was like, you can't be doing that. Like, it exhausted me for 3 days. Yeah. I can see why you're exhausted.
So what do you do now? Like, when you are feeling better, if your vertigo goes, are you going to, like, change something?
Well, that's a big question, because there's still only so many hours in the day. The big thing I need to change is trying to even just run at a slower pace. So I sort of live panicked and fright flight, and I have to hurry through this thing to get to the next thing. And actually, I'm not quicker when I'm doing that. So just trying just to, with everything I'm doing, trying to slow down, even just talking now, trying to bring myself down a level and just be at a not so crazy pace. But but you're so right, because do we actually, you know, we have to actually make sure that we implement those things and don't go back. Because when COVID happened, I remember we just had so many things on after school right before it happened, and it was crazy, and it was no good for the kids, no good for me. And then I was like, wow, what a good reset. And then we went back to doing so much, but actually I have changed that. I've sort of starting to get my daughter to, rather than doing everything, choose a few things. So she's pulled out of gymnastics and, you know, instead of doing 4 sports in the summer, let's do 2 and let's do a better job at them, and let's practice in between times. Yeah. And so what are you thinking? Where's your brain at with how you're going to improve things for you?
I love how you're like going slow. I feel like I have definitely gone slower since coming here and like putting the schooling free here. Priority has like kind of been a reset for me, like reconnecting with my kids, because we were a bit the same. Like every day after kindy or whatever, we were doing like visiting a friend, going to swimming, and the kids were so like I'd realized that they were overstimulated, and like here they're just happy playing. Where to from here? I really don't know. It's just day by day at this point. I'm like, yeah. I'm really looking forward to like the next couple of weeks and school holidays. And I'm like, it's just, yeah, I don't really have much happening beyond that.
Yeah.
I've just implemented like some support in my business. So it's like,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can outsource. You said you had a VA, anyway, right? Virtual
yeah,
assistant.
I can outsource cool. that stuff anytime. It's hard. Yeah. It's easy to palm that off. Mm-hmm. Not but it's hard to get someone to live here, right? So it's like, yeah. that's what I can do and mm-hmm. I can control that.
Mm-hmm.
For now. So yeah, I have a couple of VAs. One is like customer service focused and one is like tech and cool. websites and marketing. So yeah, awesome. Can do that.
This is a good segue into the business. So Outback Linen Co.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it. How did it start?
Okay, so there's two sort of versions that kind of mold together. So when I had Fred, we used to walk up the main street of town in the pram, like, and there was Target Country at the time. And I remember always, like, they always had, like, their linen shirts in the window and they had these beautiful towels and, like, in all different colours. And every time I had, like, a little obsession with, like, mums love linen with the button-up shirt, like, breastfeeding, whatever. It was like, that's the fashion. So anyway, I had quite a collection of those. They're not real linen, by the way, but they were my thing. And so that was part of it. Target closed. Maybe I shouldn't say the name, but yeah, that shop closed. And there was like a real, for me, I love shopping. And I was like, it was like a part of me died. I was like, there was nothing, like nothing really replaced it. So it was really hard to like, you know, buy kids, anything for kids, homewares, anything like you need. Like, yeah, it had a big impact on that little town, I reckon, and lots of little towns out in Australia. So that was that. And then through my work in my bookkeeping CFO business, I was meeting all of these amazing women across Australia who they were running boutiques, like lots of little boutiques. And like my copywriter who I still talk to is in Gundawindi. I met her. I helped a lady who was a pattern designer, and this is where the ideas start to come. So she would paint beautiful like Australian flowers and things, and she was trying to get her patterns on products basically, which was she found challenging. Anyway, one day I was like daydreaming, I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if we could put her products in, like create a product that we can then sell through these rural boutiques? And you know, rural boutiques can also struggle with their profit and things like that, because you know, how many little nicky nacky things can you sell? That's in a different space altogether. So I was like, if we can create this product which creates a profitable business in the boutiques and supports them, and also like is like a wow product, and we get lots of tourists out here that they're like, oh, I really can't wait to get my hands on like Outback Linen, and I have to go to Longreach, or mm-hmm. my big vision was like I could have a print in Roma or like Cunnamulla, or and it was just like a little tourist trail. Who knows, maybe one day. I was like, wouldn't it be great if we can, and that money supports those small towns as well. Anyway, that is the big vision that my big dream that I had. And yeah, it's sort of come to life really well. So
amazing. That's
the story behind Outback Linen.
And what was the first step?
Well, I'm a bit of a researcher. So I was like, got on Google, Facebook groups, like had to source a manufacturer, right? Because it was like the other thing, I was like, if I'm going to do this, I feel like I have, what would you say? Like, I like nice things. So I was like, it's going to be, I want this also tied in with my, like a bit of my mental health journey. It's like linen is proven to actually make you feel good. So, and when I had kids, remember putting on my linen dress and putting on makeup for the first time in like 6 months. And I was like, I'm going to the library and I'm going to have a great day and I'm going to feel good. So when I was sourcing the stuff, I was like, I don't want rubbish. It has to be good. It has to be the best. But obviously I have no idea about importing all that stuff, what I'm getting into. So I just literally ordered some samples from some manufacturers that I found online. And I was like, let's just give it a go. Like, you know, $150 here and there to get some samples. And luckily it just sort of worked out that I found one manufacturer that could actually manufacture a low minimum order quantity, because I remember one of them, that was the next thing, because I wanted to be organic and sustainable and ethical. One of them was like, yeah, we can do this, but your minimum order to start up is $40,000. And I was like, that's ballsy. Like, I can't do that. So yeah, I managed to find one that I think we printed, because digital printing again is a different thing. Like, it's not just fabric from a market overseas, like it's actually custom made.
Wow.
So I managed to find one that would do 150 shirts in each of my three prints. So that's
and
how it started.
Are you still using that same manufacturer now?
Yeah, we still use them.
And is it in China?
No, it's in India.
In India. Cool.
Yeah.
And so how long is the process from do you still have that same person designing the shirts?
So Emily did my first three, and then she did some more as well. And then I thought, let's expand our horizons a little bit and, you know, find there's lots of pattern designers in there. And so I sort of looked on Instagram for someone that I felt aligned to. I loved their designs. And so now a lady called Steph, who's in rural Victoria, I think she might have moved to WA recently. She has been doing our latest releases of the sunflowers and the flora. And why I moved, I really loved her illustration. So like, she has like created this outback, like literally flower prints that she hand drew. And I just, yeah, I really wanted to go a bit deeper into our outback inspired with real things. So that's who we're working with at the moment. But I do, and through that, I think it's a bit of a opportunity to also work with other artists. So yeah, not opposed to finding new.
And that's a cool collab, so you get to share your product with their community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. And when did you set it up?
2 years ago, I was like in the design, like early days process, had probably ordered the stuff, like put my first order in. So the manufacturing from date of like, it takes about 4 months from the time I order to the time it arrives. Mm-hmm. It's quite slow.
You launched it when?
Oh, so yeah, we officially launched. I took it to Channel Country Ladies Day in the middle of the outback in October 2022. And my stock wasn't there. So I was like, oh, how annoying. So I remember just going with like a rack
of samples.
And the ladies down there were so awesome. They were pre-ordered for Christmas. So it was like, it worked out
nice.
Well. But I'm like, it was, yeah, it was a nice little event to go to.
Yeah. And most of your sales now are through Instagram and Meta, like your advertising?
Yeah. Yeah. So we grew, because I'd sort of had a bit of a practice in my bookkeeping business. I had done an online course with like that I released, and I had done Facebook ads with them, so I was kind of familiar with Facebook Meta ads, and so I did them for this business, and I really focused on growing. Like for launch day, I did $1,000 giveaway, and I grew our email list so that when I released the product, we had like 1,000 people on the email list at that time. So now most of my sales, yeah, I think 30% come from email marketing, which I think they say that's sort of the benchmark, right? It's up from there. Email marketing is free, which is great. Facebook ads are so expensive, again, as you know, but that's probably where the main, with the other, I don't know, if we've got 30% email marketing, I feel like at least 40% comes from Meta.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we have some wholesale as well around the country.
Cool. And you do a bit of affiliate marketing?
A little bit, yeah.
Do you want to get, has Ange been in touch about getting the code for Dedicate members?
Yeah. I've outsourced that to Renee. My gosh,
okay.
Perfect. Lady. I was like, can you please do that? Because, yeah.
Babe. Well, I've obviously outsourced it too. So that's great. So both of us are sitting here not sure whether Dedicate members have the discount yet. But what I'm going to do is talk to Ange about that and have that up and running so that when this launches next Sunday, Dedicate members can go on and get some sort of discount, guys. We will put it in the show notes and it'll be in our newsletter. And so you can check out these beautiful shirts, and I am going to be doing a reel soon. I'm going to be styling one of the shirts with some of my clothes, and it has been on the to-do list for ages, but it is so close to happening. You see, my lip's nearly right, and I have been showing face more the last week on socials, which has been slowing me down a bit.
Yeah. This year I was really keen to do our strategic partnership, we can call it, because we have had a lot of New Zealand ladies love our product as well. Like, obviously, not just New Zealand, but I was like, yeah, this works for you, works for me. Like, this is really,
it's a great partnership
for both businesses.
Yeah. It's lots of fun too. Like, I think that's probably one of my favorite. It's probably like five favorite parts of what I do. And one of them is working with other rural women in business. And it's again, it's that isolation, that loneliness that we can get. But you really feel like you're together and it's fun and you create these connections that that are long living, you know. I've seen some of the women that I've worked with in Australia, I've met them more than once over the last couple of years, and it's amazing how we end up seeing each other. Obviously, I'm going to Australia two or three times a year, but the networking is just lots of fun. And
you are going to that event down in Orange.
Yes.
The
huddle. Yeah, you should go. Well, I'll be able to tell you from experience in just over a week, but doesn't it look incredible? There's so many things. Like, we're going to an 80s trivia night on the Friday night. Yeah. And then Saturday morning, there's a breakfast and there's these other workshops. We're going to a high tea that night. There's a dinner with the mentors. So I'm speaking the next day. And the Sunday's the main event. And there's, I don't know how many mentors there are. There's a few of us, like 10 to 20. And we're getting our hair and makeup done. They're organizing how we're getting to and from the venues. Like, everything is sort of, it's like they must have quite a big team too, but the passion and drive behind Jess and Pip, the owners of Jumbled Online, is amazing.
So amazing. And I think it's so powerful. Like, you'll come away from that. Like, when I went to a similar sort of conference last year, not for rural women, but I was like, you just leave and you just feel like so, like your cup is full. Like, it's just so powerful be around those other, other people doing magical things as well. So.
And other people doing magical things / also doing the mundane like you are as well most of the time. You're not alone.
Yeah.
And so what are your visions for Outback Linen Co. once you get the homeschooling under? I don't want to put any pressure on you with getting into set goals here and now.
Yeah. Last year was really operationally challenging. Like, I feel like it grew really big really quick, and I feel like I said yesterday to one of my mentors, I'm like, I'm out of my depth. I'm literally like, I never thought we'd be at this level.
Amazing.
So last year was all about like getting
quick.
And that is because it's built on these values, like we said at the start, like it's just so ingrained in what we do. So it was like, you know, I had to move my stock into a warehouse in Brisbane. Like, that was an operational challenge. It was just like constantly, like, I feel like every 6 weeks last year was just like, okay, now we need to rebuild this website. Now we need to look at our warehousing. And there was just like constant, I can't remember what the other ones were, but there was like, it was brutal. So I sort of went into this year being like, okay, we've sorted that shit now. We can start to, for me, I was like, I want to start to implement a bit more fun, like this sort of stuff, like focus on the higher level connections, partnerships, fun for me. And it's not about revenue at all. Like, this year, I was like, it doesn't matter if it doesn't grow. Obviously, you'd like it to grow, but that's not my main focus. What keeps me awake at night is like, I have a lot, that was another challenge last year. We ran out of stock in June. Was just a shit show because you can't sell stuff if you don't have stock. We had stock delays. This year, the challenge is, well, now I have like hundreds of thousands of dollars stock in Brisbane, and I'm like, oh, now I have to sell it. So what keeps me awake this year is like, oh, you have a lot of stock.
Yeah.
But it is nice in the fact that we've done our photo shoots, we've done our marketing, we can be a bit more plans for the rest of the year, so things are flowing better. And this year is all about a bit more fun.
Well, you sound like you've been in business for way longer than 2 years, the way you're talking about it and the learnings that you've already worked out.
Yes, well, I
it's such a journey.
A little bit of practice before, right?
Yeah.
And I yeah my dad, my parents were in business. So I don't know if it's like something in my genetic makeup that I'm just always fixing something, always trying to do something better.
Yeah.
And with business, there's always something there.
Always. Yeah. Yeah. For me, the learning has been that you don't always have to fix it immediately.
Yeah.
But I mean, ideally you would, but I guess it's a learning that's parenting, mother, you know, motherhood, business, own health, all in one.
Yeah. And my health this year is like my number one. So it was like, funny how I met you. I was like, yeah, I just gave up drinking and I wouldn't mind doing some exercise. So I have been doing some like the last couple of weeks. The wheels fell off again. But like I got up to running for 8 minutes and like I hadn't run for like 10 years. So it was like, you know, little things like that. And I'm like, maybe, you know, go to a park run this year. Like just, it's a bit more about me rather than just.
Have you tried any Dedicate workouts?
Yeah, and I couldn't walk for 3 days.
What did you do?
And you probably don't want to hear that.
No, that's normal, honestly. And I've been there too. Yeah. Like, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear that stuff.
Yeah. It was funny. It was great. I actually really loved it. It was like, it was a Monday. I feel like you do it every Monday.
Oh, the sculpt with the weights?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I found it really easy at the time. Yeah. But then, like, the next, I was like, holy, silly. Yeah.
You'll have to go on for some more. Yeah. I think that's a sign your body wants and needs it.
Do you think? Yeah, I did feel good. So I bought the weights and I've done a couple. So
awesome. Love it.
Work in progress.
Good job. All right. I've got 10 questions, this or that questions.
Mm-hmm.
Weights or HIIT?
I think I like HIIT.
All right. Well, don't do a sculpt next time. Do a HIIT next time. Do a power session or if you want to do weights and HIIT combined, do an Ignite. But you may not be able to walk again after that one.
Yeah, no, HIIT's good.
Pilates or yoga?
Oh, I like yoga. If I lived in the city, well, I know you do yoga too, but I love going to a yoga class.
You like the like whole Zen and things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The vibe.
Yeah.
I find it hard to relax. See, for me to do it by myself, it needs a bit more dedication and probably not there.
I've actually really enjoyed Pilates for that reason because I struggle as well with yoga, and it is a sign that that's what we actually need to be doing and should be doing, you know, slowing down. But Pilates is a bit slower paced. Our Pilates is sort of a wee bit hit like as well. And it's quite a good way of getting really good strengthening without being as frantic as, you know, it's a good way to slow down a bit, but still really get that burn.
Interesting.
You should try Dedicate Pilates. Mm. That can be my to-do list is make the reel with your beautiful shirt and yours is Pilates.
Yeah, I've never done it before. I feel like that's why I've avoided it. Yeah. And maybe it's time to
try it. There's lots of 20-minute ones. Yeah. Or a 10-minute. We've got the minis.
I love how yours are short because even when I do my runs or whatever, it's like at least I'm like, it's half an hour. Like you can find half an hour a day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Most days.
All right, snake or crocodile? This is a real Queensland, I'm not from Queensland question.
Like, what do you mean? Which one do I pick?
Yeah, which one, I guess, which one would you rather come across?
Oh, which one would I rather come across? Mm, definitely a snake.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like crocodile would be massive. We had a snake in the garden. Like, I feel like it's like a meter away from me like 2 months ago. And I was like, at least I know it's there.
Yeah.
It's like crocodile, holy.
And it's not as common. You don't just have them cruising around the garden, do you?
No.
Are they near you or are they up higher? Like, do you have?
They're not near us. They're up higher. They're more North Queensland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Matching set or dress?
Kind of like a dress. I love a dress. Easy to throw on, right?
Yeah. You're in dresses a lot. I thought that's what you'd say. But I just saw on your website this epic new, this amazing, like, chocolatey colored matching set on your website.
I think that's the plum. Yeah. So released our matchy sets.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. People have been waiting for the short sleeves for a while. And that was come from a customer feedback. And so the matchy sets quite good. Like, and I feel like you can mix a print. I'm probably not a full matchy matchy. I'm like a print plain.
I'm quite into the matching sets at the moment. They look very cool.
Yeah.
Get amongst it, Dedicate members. Would you rather nice bed linen or nice towels?
Hard one, because I like them both.
I know.
But I like, you've done your research, I would go the bed linen, because I love sliding into my linen sheets at the end of the day.
That feeling. And you sell that sort of thing. You sell those too, don't you?
We haven't got towels at the moment. I've cleared them out last year just because they took a lot of space, like logistically. So I cleared them out. We did mystery boxes and I've got them beautiful, amazing, perfected the bath mats. They're coming back in April.
But that's what the business sort of started with. Am I right? It started
So
bed linen,
like,
and towels, and it's moved into clothing.
Towels.
Yeah.
Never did the bed linen. I'm actually going to collaborate with a bed linen lady, because I think that.
Oh, good idea.
Better. Yeah. But yeah, definitely started with towels. I was like, I love to wrap myself in a fluffy towel.
Yeah. Or a dress.
Or a dress.
Yeah. Would you rather do the marketing or crunch the numbers?
You're killing me, because these are like the two things I love. If you had said, like, I don't know. I'm going to say the marketing, because sometimes, even like with my finance background, the numbers are just, I fully understand them. I fully get them and I fully like do them. And sometimes it's like terrifying that it's my own business. Sometimes I'm like, oh, actually, maybe I should get a CFO to do this business now, because am I making the right decision? Whereas the marketing is so fun, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just, it's fun.
Yeah, it is. They're kind of almost clash. It's like, but you need them to be in unison. It's like, if you're not over your numbers and you're doing too much crazy marketing, spending money, then it can be a bit disastrous. All right. I think this one's going to be hard for you as well, maybe. I don't know. Would you rather a baby or a toddler?
I would much prefer a baby.
Yeah.
Because they sleep, like, you know when they need to sleep, you know when they need to eat, they don't talk back. Toddlers.
Yeah, wow. I'm with you. I'm with you. Okay, would you rather no alcohol beer or mocktail or a fizzy drink? Like, would you rather no, like, a fake alcohol or fizzy?
Fake drink. There's so many varieties I'm loving.
Yeah, and you actually feel like, I had a 0% beer the other day for the first time ever. I swear the guy who served it to me looked at me like, I've never seen you order that before. What's going on? And it tastes not too bad. It was pretty good. And someone actually said to me, oh, what's the point? Why don't you just have water? But there is a point, because you feel like you're part of, you feel like you're part of it, and it's still, and it tastes nice, and you sort of can relax a bit, and sitting there drinking a waters at a pub's really not that much fun.
No. Yeah, totally. It's totally acceptable, to almost acceptable to have that. You feel, you're definitely part of it.
Yeah. Would you rather go back in time or see into the future?
My current phase where I'm at, I would go back and change a couple of things.
Yeah.
I would, I think our struggles, I feel like I could have been a better communicator back in the day, but can you change that? I don't know.
Is this back when the kids were really little?
Yeah. That's probably one thing I'd change, but yeah, looking forward to the future, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I hope you're not hard on yourself, because we all learn these things. We don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. You do what you can and best at the right time. And I do say that you did as good as you could. So always hard on myself, but yes, I try not to be too hard.
Yeah. My daughter found a photo yesterday of me and my eldest when my eldest was a baby. And she was like, oh my gosh, were you like a teenager when you had? I was like, no, I was 25, so I was still quite young. But it just, and looking at that photo, I just thought to myself, gosh, it is, it's so young. Like, there's so many things that
learnings,
and we're still babies ourselves, you know?
Oh, and the decisions you make at 25, like, still impact you at 35 or whatever in your life, but I'm not the same person. So it's hard.
Yeah, a lot to process. And I feel like in your 30s, you start processing things a lot more. Have you found that? Like I do things in my 20s or whatever, and they weren't ideal or whatever, but it didn't seem to have this like lasting impact, kind of like you wouldn't carry it with you. But now, I don't know, do we feel more, a lot more deeply? Is it maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but I feel like you start processing life or something.
Yeah.
You start realizing that life's so short, and I don't know, it's just, it's
something changes. Happens in your 30s
for sure. It does, doesn't
like,
it?
Do you have like this bird's eye view of your life and you're like,
yeah,
what's the greater meaning almost?
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Like, and we start to overthink things a lot more.
Definitely.
Sorry, what did you say?
What happens when we get to 40? Like, does it change again? I don't know.
Hopefully we go more back to like 20s. I'm only a year away from 40, so I'll let you know.
Let me know. Because
I feel like
it's definitely figuring it out.
Yeah, I feel like 39's better than 35 for me personally, anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Yeah. What number 30 are you?
35.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I as my kids get older, I feel like obviously it gets easier.
Mm.
And then, yeah, the priorities can sort of adjust again. So it's like, yeah, I can see how in the next 4 years it would get nicer.
Yeah. I quite like that word nicer because it's, I don't think it's easier necessarily. Mm. It's a different, there's different challenges, but it is nicer and more enjoyable.
As a like woman.
As a whole. And as a woman and as yourself and your self-identity and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay. This next, this last, this or that feels pretty random after we've been so deep.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking about quite deep things.
Yeah, like crocodiles and snakes. I'm like, whoa, I have no idea.
Yeah. The next one is, stupid. Would you rather meet aliens or ghosts?
Aliens. I feel like ghosts, like, terrify me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So but what would
I
you
say? Those aliens would be terrifying too.
I don't know if there's any right or wrong answer. Don't worry.
No, I do get scared of, like, the afterlife. Do they haunt us? I'm not sure. So I feel like meeting that would be terrifying. Whereas aliens, like, fictitious, like bring it on.
You're right. Once, although both of them, once we know that they're definitely true, your whole world would change. But I mean, there's got to be aliens.
Yeah, there's life out there, surely.
There is ghosts. What do you reckon? Do you reckon there are ghosts?
I do feel like the spirits are there.
Yeah,
it's like sometimes scary. I haven't had an encounter yet, but
how old's your house here? Is it old or is it new?
This one would be quite old. I did see one of those, like a psychic, probably about 2 years ago.
Interesting.
Really. Do you know one thing they said, and it still sits with me? She's like, you run a business, you could run another, and it's not going to be the last. I'm like, okay, interesting. She's like, and there's going to be a box of linen turn up on your deck. And anyway,
what?
Now I run a linen business. Weird. But she was very interesting about, like, there's a lot of guided protection up there, and I do feel like that is the case. That's probably my only spiritual encounter.
I sort of agree, but then I think when really awful things happen to people, why does that happen then?
I don't know.
And I think that's, you know, I'm love, you know, all the stuff, that's why I do the podcast, all the, you know, we learn from challenges and things happen for a reason, but then not everything happens for a reason. Like, there's some tragic things that happen. Why does that happen?
Why does it happen? I don't know. And I do feel like.
And to some people and not others, you know?
I know. And I'm like, I feel like it doesn't happen for a reason, but I feel like those people were meant to be, they were strong, right? I'm so grateful that I haven't had any challenges like that. Nothing seems to
happen. Yeah, but what about the person who was taken away or whatever?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah. That person is just like a strong person to get through it. I have no idea, but I'm like just totally grateful that nothing, you know, I'm thinking, but I'm not going to say it because it's just like, it's so unfair. There are some really good things.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like I need a fun question now. That was 10. Let me think. I'll go back. I can't do the cocktail or champagne one. Oh, no, I could. What do you like better, a cocktail or champagne when you were?
I love mojitos. They're my favorite.
Yeah, they're good. They're delicious. Mint. Anything with mint. Do you like mint? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's do another one. Salad.
Oh, yeah. Okay, would you rather be invisible or read minds?
Oh, I would so love to read minds. Be so good, that superpower.
Like you're psychic. Now, back to your psychic thing. So when with the linen thing, do you think she predicted it or do you think you made it happen because she told you linen would turn up?
See, I don't know. Mm. This is the thing. Or was it just in the phase where I was like buying a nice linen sheets and a box of linen turn up? And now, like, I look back in 3 years or 2 years ago and I'm like, I look back and I think that's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
My best friend is like a skeptic and she was like, you just, it's just a coincidence.
Yeah. Coincidence or she put it in your head.
Yeah, put it in my head. That's right.
But it's a good thing. It's a great thing.
Well, she was writing something. She was like, I can see you like doing a presentation on a stage. And I was an MC for a rural event last year. And I was like, see, like that kind of was right too.
Yeah, awesome.
So who knows?
Would you recommend others do it? I've thought about it, but I just haven't sort of had the opportunity in my face. It needs to be in my face and me to go, okay, now's the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to Christchurch, which is 3.5 hours away, to go and see one.
Yeah. Mum was on the phone, which is good.
Oh, on the phone.
I don't know. I'm in the phase. I haven't gone again because I'm like, I don't really want to know. Like, I just feel like I want to be my own destiny.
So what made you do it then? Did you?
Probably was just a bit like, seeking some sort of guidance.
Yeah.
I guess. Like, what's the point of all this? And now I'm like, I'll just make my own outcome here. I don't want to know.
But now you've sort of scratched that itch, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, life's a bit like that. You like try different things to see if it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be helpful to you or not.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need a little, a bit of guidance.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for your time today.
No worries.
I really, really appreciate it and appreciate your honesty and sharing with us the challenges that you've had and the learnings that you've had and also that you're experiencing at the moment. And I'm sure there's people out there who can really relate to a lot of things that you're saying, and it's helped them as well. And either they've been through it or they're going through it, or maybe they'll go through it in the future.
Yeah, hope so. Thank you. It has been really good to unpack all that with you. And as you said, like, I'm in the journey, right? It's not like the perfect story, but someone out there may be going through something similar, so hopefully they
definitely
feel like they're heard.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Thank you all so much for listening to the Dedicate podcast and to Sarah for her time today. If you enjoy our podcast, please hit subscribe. It lets you know when new episodes launch and helps others find us. And if you enjoyed this particular episode, other great episodes from Bush Businesswoman are Grace Brennan from Buy From The Bush, Self-Identity, Self-Doubt, Buy From The Bush and more. Steph Browoski, who has a hilarious Instagram page about being a farmer's wife, parents separating, motherhood, faith and Instagram marketing. And Emily Riggs from Iris and Will, Triumph Over Tragedy. If you're not already a Dedicate member, come and join us. A huge variety of short and effective online workouts in a super supportive community of women across New Zealand and Australia. Head to kateivfitness.com for your 7-day free trial. See you there.